449, dwelling in Beulah Land. Let's sing it out nice and loud together. 449.
Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the scent of earth he set on every hand. Loud and clear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from you.
And 49 on the second.
Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle on the enemy withstand. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me.
Let's open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together at church. I pray that you bless every aspect of this service, Lord, the preaching, the fellowship, soul winning, and our singing to you. I pray that you fill us with the Holy Spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, for our second song, we'll flip to song 49, Meet Me There. Song 49, Meet Me There. Song 4-9, Meet Me There. morning. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you don't already have a bulletin, you can lift up your hand nice and high. One of our ushers can come by and get you guys a bulletin on the front. We have our Bible memory passage, Psalm 58, verse number 3. And on the inside, we have our service times, soul winning times, church stats. Please continue to report that to our soul winning captains, lieutenants. We have our expecting ladies list. Several ladies there you can be in prayer for. And also, prayer list, please continue to pray for those who are listed here. Also, if you'd add Brother Caputo for a job. And on the back, we have our church reminders. Also, upcoming events, the Mighty Men's Conference, August 17th through the 19th, and then October 12th through the 15th. And last Sunday, I was in Phoenix preaching at Faith Forward Baptist Church, and it was great to go back out there and enjoy the oven for a while. And no, it was a lot of fun, and I felt like I remembered how hot it was, and then I went, and I was like, nope, it's hotter than I thought. But you know what? It's great being there, and it was good to see a lot of familiar faces, see some new faces out there. The church over there is doing really great. If you ever get a chance to, I highly recommend going out there to Phoenix and visiting that church. And so we also got to hang out with Brother Segura, and I'm trying to make a mini documentary, a little mini documentary, and I filmed kind of a little bit of a sermon out there, and we're going to be airing it at Red Hot, and just kind of them there at the conference next, or I guess it's this week, and then also we'll end up putting it on Rumble, so you can check it out that way. But it's kind of like a little bit of a afterthought of our Sodomite Deception film, so if you enjoyed that one, you should probably like this one. Although, I will give this caveat, it's not necessarily the most family-friendly film, okay? Just FYI. Obviously, when you talk about the terrorists that are out there, they do a lot of gruesome things, and so obviously it's a little bit of a nitty-gritty subject matter. But we're going to put it out there, and so if you're interested, you can check that out. That's pretty much all I have as far as announcements. We'll go ahead and go to our third song. We're going to sing a new psalm. It's in our handouts. It's Psalm 119, and it's not the whole thing, folks, okay? Don't get too nervous, all right? It's just, it's basically, it's nine verses of Psalm 119 that are kind of just hand-selected out of that. They are pretty much in order. It's 105 to 114. So if you for some reason needed to use your Bible, you can try it that way, but it'll be a lot easier if you have the sheet music. And so we're going to go ahead and try to learn a new song, Psalm 119. Brother Dylan's going to lead us.
All right, Psalm 119.
I have sworn and
singing. If you would, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 6 as the offering plates are being passed around. Deuteronomy chapter number 6.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible reads, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for Pastor Shelley and his family, and I pray that you fill him with your spirit now and help him to preach the sermon you've laid on his heart. Lord, we ask also that you would enable us to apply the message to our lives, Lord, so that we can serve you better and glorify you in everything that we do. We love you.
And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This morning, I'm continuing a series that I had started where I talked about a particular documentary. It was entitled The Shiny Happy People, and it's kind of an expose of the Duggar family, IBLP, and even just loosely Fundamental Baptist as a whole. And of course, I've already expressed this, but to reiterate again, this documentary, while exposing a lot of things that I strongly disagree with the Duggars on, and especially IBLP, Bill Gothard, and those types of people, it's mostly just an attack on Christianity, on fundamentalism. And of course, many of the things that the Duggars or IBLP or Bill Gothard advocate for are biblical, and the Bible very clearly teaches them. And so we want to have a balanced approach of essentially anything that we analyze or criticize or view, not to necessarily throw the baby out with the bathwater. And of course, those who are going to imitate the Lord's people often do a lot of things that are right, but sometimes they have bad motives or they're very poor in the execution of those ideals. And one of those specific topics that's really brought up in this documentary is that of homeschooling and of education specifically. And so the title of my sermon this morning is just homeschooling. And, you know, this idea of homeschooling, I want to kind of illustrate from the Bible a lot of different principles as to why I believe that homeschooling in many ways is a better choice to formal education. Now, while I preach on this topic, I don't want you to get confused on what I'm saying, because some of the things that I'm going to be saying this morning are what the Bible just clearly instructs us to do. And then there's going to also be my personal opinion kind of mixed in here. And I'm going to try my best to separate those two as I go through and kind of talk about these points. But of course, when it comes to homeschooling, you know, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt homeschool. So I don't want anybody to get the idea that if you don't homeschool, if you're not homeschooled, somehow you're just not right with God, or you're a wicked sinner, or there's something evil about you. Obviously, there's good, better, and best when it comes to life decisions that we have to make. And I just personally believe that homeschooling is the best option that you could make in 2023 America, that there's not really a better alternative to that. Does that mean that there isn't other alternatives that someone could get good education from? Of course there are. There's always alternatives. There's nothing theoretically wrong with formal education. There's nothing wrong with people collectively gathering together and educating themselves. There's nothing wrong with people teaching people. So, of course, the concepts of school, public school, or college, or any of these other institutions, there's nothing technically wrong with them. But at the same time, there is a lot of dangers associated with formal education, public school, and some of the options that a lot of people are taking today. Now, I do want to get very clear, though, when I start the sermon, things that the Bible tells us that we should do, period. Things that are just very clearly articulated in the Bible as non-negotiables. And one of those is the idea of teaching your own children. Now, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hands, and they should be as frontlets between thine eyes." Now, this is why Jews will literally strap Bibles to their physical body. Of course, that is not what the Bible is instructing us to do, this overly literal idea of literally just putting the Word of God on our physical body. But rather, the idea of more so the Bible being in your hand, in the sense that you have a Bible at hand, you're reading it, it's accessible, you're studying it, it's something that's ready to be used, and that it's in your heart and your mind, in the sense that you're reading it, you're meditating on it, you're thinking about it, you're memorizing it, you're singing it, all of those different aspects. That's what God really wants you to do. And so, of course, this is not an alternative or an option. This is a commandment. God wants us to teach our children. So just sometimes I think when we talk about school, I think in a lot of parents' mind is they think the only education of my child is limited to either public school or homeschool. But the Bible is actually telling us that we're supposed to be teaching our children the Bible on a regular basis. And in fact, if you notice this, it says, "And thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house." So this is just any time you're at home. It says, "When thou walkest by the way." So anywhere you go, when you leave your house. "And when thou liest down." So even in the evening, when you're putting them in bed. "And when thou rise up," as soon as you wake up in the morning. What it's really just saying is just at all times. Anywhere and everywhere that you find yourself, you should be teaching your children the Bible. So from this particular concept, I would argue that every single parent needs to homeschool in the essence of teaching them the Bible. Now, does it not mean that what we talk about formal education, when we say mathematics, English, literature, that you have to homeschool them? That's not what the Bible's necessarily saying here. But what it is teaching is that every parent is personally responsible for teaching their children the Bible on a regular basis. And I believe that you should do your best to teach your children on a regular basis. Now, me and my family, we're not perfect. And of course, we strive to do what's right. But for the most part, our family sits down in the evenings and we have a family devotional. We will sit down, we'll read a chapter of the Bible, we'll sing at least one song, we'll sometimes work on the memory passage for the week. And again, there's nights where we don't. Sometimes we're traveling and it makes it more difficult. So of course, I'm not saying that I'm perfect in this area, but it is something that we strive for and we try to do on a regular basis as a daily routine. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's not because I go to this church. It's because I'm a Christian. And you know what? Every Christian should be sitting down with their family on a somewhat regular basis, and I believe teaching the Bible. Not only that, of course, when we have meals, when we're doing things, we'll pray as a family, right? You'll pray for your food. Maybe if you're traveling, you might pray that God would keep y'all safe as y'all travel. And of course, I think this is important that you as the husband, as the head of the house, that you're leading by example and you're teaching your family, hey, we pray on a regular basis. We read the Bible together on a regular basis. We go to church together on a regular basis. Here's another good idea. Just talking about the sermon with your family after church. And of course, you can talk about anything and everything. You can just talk about the things that you liked. You can talk about things that you thought of when, you know, the sermon was going. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, hey, you didn't mention this in your sermon, but while you're preaching on this, I thought of this other verse, or, you know, basically the Holy Ghost was just teaching you something else or enlightening or making an application for you. And I think what's good is that you share that with others. Share that with your wife. Share that with your husband. Share that with your children. Share that with your friends. Talk about the Bible. Let it be something that you're kind of meditating on. And often it'll stick with you better if you end up bringing it up afterwards. Because a lot of times I'll think about a sermon a lot right afterwards. But then if I don't for a while, I'll just forget everything and it really just kind of goes over my head. But if you kind of talk with a few people about it or you kind of meditate on it, it actually ends up having a better chance of sticking. Some of the points in the Bible might resonate. Also, you could even talk about things you may want to change. Of course, there's nothing wrong with making immediate changes after being confronted by something in the Bible. Saying, you know what, that I really liked what I heard from the Bible this morning. I really like what I heard in the sermon today. And you know what? I think we should try that. We should try that. We should try reading, or we should try going to church more, or we should try going soul winning. You know, there's never a bad time to start serving God. In fact, it's usually best to just do it immediately. And so, you know, these are some just good tips. And as a family, you should be regularly teaching your children the Bible. I also believe you should go beyond this to where any life circumstance that you go through, that you're dealing with your children, that you maybe the Bible comes to mind, talk about it. You know, when you have a situation where, let's say, one of their friends does something, you know, wicked, and your kids tell you about it, it's like, hey, thanks for telling me, or you're right, here's what the Bible says about that subject matter. Or maybe they lie or they do something wrong and you show them, hey, this is what the Bible says about this particular issue. Or maybe you're actually homeschooling and you open up your homeschool curriculum and it says, let's read about Barack Obama and all the wonderful things he's done for America. And then you're like, all right, now let's open the Bible and let's see what the Bible says about Barack Obama. Let's see what the Bible says about George W. Bush. Let's see what the Bible says about these individuals. And so it's good to mix the Bible with your life and to help your children realize that the reason why we make these decisions is because of what the Bible is saying. Not just my own personal opinion, not just what I think. No, we actually try our best to live by the Bible. You go to sleep and you talk about the Bible. You wake up and you're thinking about the Bible. You know, I have my oldest son. He's very capable of reading. He's already read the King James Bible cover to cover. And he's going through a second time. And sometimes, you know, not every day, but a lot of mornings, if I catch him, I might say, hey, what'd you read today? And he'll tell me, hey, I read this in James, or I read this in Deuteronomy, or, and I'll ask him about it. And a lot of times he can tell me most of what the story said, and then I'll just say, what does that mean? Or do you see any pictures of Christ in that? Or we can just kind of talk about the stories a little bit just to help him to have a better understanding of what it is that he's reading. You know, after sermons, I'll ask my children or I'll ask my wife, hey, what's a point that you liked? Or did you understand this? Or what did you think about this? Just to get some engagement, see how they respond. Sometimes my wife, just admittedly, has to pay attention to the toddler or go to the mother bay room or whatever. She may have missed things. So it's nice that I talk to her. Maybe she missed something and I can refresh that to her. I can say, hey, this is, you know, what I was saying, or this is a point that was made. Sometimes she'll even help me. She'll be like, hey, you said this really weird thing. And I'm like, yeah, I did. I'm sorry. So obviously, you know, I can make a lot of verbal mistakes just like any normal person. But at the end of the day, it's just good to talk about the Bible with your family. And this is a part of education. Don't limit your education to four walls called school and say, well, they do that. But I believe, and I'm just trying to be honest with you today, I believe that the vast majority of Americans are allowing everyone else to teach their children, and they virtually do very little, if not almost none, zero teaching of their own children. Where essentially they just take them to school, they take them maybe to church or some other institution, and they're pretty much hands off, and they're not really educating their children on anything. And this is such a disservice to the children to not be educating them on anything. But I'll tell you what, the most important education, I believe by far, is teaching them the Bible. Number one should be the Word of God. It should be the Bible, and you should be teaching it to your children regularly. And sadly, I know from personal experience and just other family members, most parents are never teaching their children a single thing from the Bible. And think about how crazy that actually is. Think about how crazy it is to have a child in your home for 18 years and you never even yourself opened the Bible one time and showed them anything. You weren't reading any of it with them. You weren't talking to them about what they believe. You're allowing other people to dictate what your children believe and what they do and the actions that they take. I believe that it's very important for parents to teach their children the Bible. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And again, this is not what I'm saying right now. This is not my personal opinion. This is what God's telling us. So I don't want you to get confused. This is not Pastor Shelley telling you to teach your children the Bible. This is God teaching you and telling you, you need to diligently teach your children. What is diligent? That means putting really concerned effort. That sounds like it's even formal, like I talked about earlier. Having a formal time and then even also making sure that you're informally in everyday scenarios and examples also. You know, further teaching them and encouraging them and instructing them and making it a daily habit. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Notice he wants us to eat cattle, okay? Praise God. You know, he likes Texas, okay? Verse 16, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You know, I think this is something that we don't always remember or think about, of how easy it is to stop serving God. And God is constantly trying to remind us, like, man, it's so easy for you guys to just turn aside. That's why you have to be really careful and really diligent and really thinking about my commandments, because it's really easy to just get your heart, notice this, deceived. Your heart to be deceived. And you know, we constantly hear this word heart, and we think like about the organ, but what is it really talking about? Is it talking about the blood-pumping organ in our body, or is it more talking about your desire? It's talking about the things that you desire. And so it's very easy that your desires get tricked into wanting things that they shouldn't want, and the things that are not good for it, and things that are not healthy for it. And what is healthy for it? The Word of God is healthy for it. How easy is it for people to be deceived and tricked into thinking, I don't need church, I don't need the Bible, I don't need to read, I don't need to teach my kids anything, everything's going to take care of itself. And it's really just coming from a place of laziness, selfishness. The flesh just wants to cause you to just not serve God with your life. And God knows this, and it can take you so far as to get to the point where you're just in fake religion. You're in false religion. And, you know, obviously, we don't have as much paganism in America as other parts of the world. But look, a lot of the churches here, it's a fake worship of God, folks. I mean, they're going there just singing vain songs. I mean, we just sang a psalm today, and it says, I hate vain thoughts. And you know what? A lot of people are going to church, and they're just hearing a lot of vain thoughts throughout that service. And it's just a fake worship of God. And they're just so easily deceived into that, and they get sucked into it so easy, and yet they, in their minds, have deceived themselves in thinking, I'm serving God, I'm a good Christian, God's pleased with the decisions I'm making, and they're not teaching the children anything, they don't know the Bible themselves, and they're really a root cause of the destruction of our country and themselves. Yep. Look at verse number 17, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. You know what I noticed this verse is teaching me? Climate change. Yeah. You want to know the root cause of climate change? Sin. Because you know who's in control of the weather? God. God is the reason why there's good weather, and God's the reason why there's bad weather. And you know what is the deciding factor? It's not arbitrary. It's us serving him. It's us being faithful unto him. It's us and how much sin we have in our lives. Isn't that interesting how the Bible is talking about this? And this is a huge concern in the world today is climate change. It's like, hey, you want to have good climate, what do? Get right with God. And he'll make sure that we have the climate that we need. Verse 18, Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Notice that God is starting off this kind of section of scripture we're talking about, this passage, of the idea of diligently hearkening to his commandments. And what's the result of this? When you do, good weather. When you don't, bad weather. Then he's telling us again, reiterating, coming on the backside of this, and saying we need to teach them to our children on a regular basis. We need to be speaking about them on a regular basis. It kind of gives us the same idea here. We're speaking when? We're sitting, when we're walking, when we're lying, when we're rising. What other physical activities are you doing typically? Floating? Maybe if you're in space? But you know what? I guarantee it applies then too, right? He's just saying, hey, whether you're standing, sitting, walking, it doesn't matter. You talk about the Bible and you teach them unto your children. And notice, if you want to have success and you want your children to have success, it is through the talking and speaking and thinking about God's commandments on a regular basis. That is what gives us safety. You know, and of course, a lot of people want to kind of throw out the Old Testament or criticize the Old Testament or act like the Old Testament's not necessary. We're under grace. You know what? That's a silly argument to try and say that the whole Old Testament is just gone because of this word grace. Obviously, I don't have to go to hell because of grace. But you know what? If I want to have success in this life, it's through following God's commandments. Jesus Christ was full of grace and of truth. You know what? Grace gives me heaven. Truth is that I'm a sinner deserving hell. Okay? God's grace is God loves me no matter what. God's truth is he's disappointed when I sin. Okay? And so, yeah, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. I get to go to heaven, but I deserve hell. And you know what? Yeah, God's going to love me no matter what, but he's really disappointed with me when I'm constantly breaking his commandments. And he may cause the weather to change as a direct result of my behavior. I wonder if that's why towards the end times, the weather gets really crazy. If you think about it. Now, go over to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter 4. This is just a way of introduction to homeschooling. And again, why? Because this is the most important point. We're going to talk about formal education here now for a second, but I just want you to really get in your mind and your heart. The most important thing that every parent needs to do, no matter what decision you make about formal education for your children, is that you need to be teaching them the Bible on a regular basis. And I think that sometimes what will happen is the criticisms thrown against Duggars or IBLP is they say, oh, they're not teaching them formal education, they're teaching them the Bible. And it's like, well, you should just do both, right? There's nothing wrong with teaching them the Bible or curriculum that's coming from the scripture itself. In fact, if you go back far enough, even public education was using a King James Bible for reading, for spelling, for studying, mostly because it was the only book anybody had. And it was the same book. So we can all have the same book and we're writing down the same lessons and we're memorizing the same scriptures and they put the Ten Commandments up on the wall. And it wasn't until we have a lot more books and people started realizing, hey, I can make a lot of money if I sell books to the school. But then they found out, they were like, but after I sell one book, they're good. I need to update it. And then you get a new edition every year. Conveniently figured out every year they need to update something, right? Even if it's just a spelling, you need to buy a brand new $100 textbook. Someone's making money off of this, folks. Okay? And when it comes to education, the Bible is very clear, though, that we should be pro-education. Just in general, we should be very pro-education, pro-getting knowledge. God is not a God of dumb people. No, God is the supreme being when it comes to intelligence. And he wants us also to come to his level. Obviously, we can't. We're human. We'll never get to God's level. But, you know, God wants us to get as close as we can. Just like we enjoy adult conversation more than conversation with children, the same is with God. God enjoys the most adult level of conversation he can have. He doesn't want to necessarily have to always communicate on the lowest level possible. Hebrews chapter number 5 makes that abundantly clear, that God doesn't want us to just stay babes forever and only be able to consume just the most shallow portions of the Bible. He wants us to be able to understand the deep things of God. That's why he even gives us the Holy Spirit, is so that we're capable and possible of understanding all the truths that God has for us and the wonderful knowledge that he has. But of course, the Bible gives us strict commands in order to get knowledge and to get wisdom, get instruction. It says it over and over and over again. This is just the theme of the book of Proverbs. Look at chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. That's pretty clear, folks. How does God feel? He's telling you to get wisdom, get understanding. Also notice this, not to forget it either. It's not like we're just cramming for a test and then we can just forget it all later. He wants it to be something that we just know forever. He wants us to get it deep into our hearts and in our minds and to understand all the truths of the Bible that God has for us. Verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, is that really what is being pursued by Americans today and young people today? Is that what the most popular TikTok and YouTube and Instagram videos are today? Getting wisdom? Or is it acting like an idiot? It's virtually, I mean, these apps are even designed in many cases to elevate videos and personalities that are the dumbest people on the planet. You know, and people from a particular group, they made like a movie and they had like their own TV show. They're called Jackass, okay? With Steve-O and Johnny Knoxville and all these people. What was the point of these individuals? They hurt themselves. They hurt themselves for laughs. And they would do dumb things on purpose. They were willingly ignorant. They were willingly stupid in order to do the most satanic and almost evil things as well, just to get views. Steve-O literally got a tattoo of a grown man sodomizing a baby on his arm, a tattoo of that, just for the laughs. Talk about, look, you say, how do you get to that point? Because they just started with like something really, you know, tripping themselves or pushing themselves around in shopping carts and falling over. But you know what? Eventually it got old, right? So then they have to elevate it to where they start shooting themselves with certain guns that are non-lethal. And then that wasn't cool enough. So then they're like jumping off buildings and crashing into cars, and that wasn't cool enough. So now, I mean, they just keep escalating and just keep getting more demonic and more satanic and more evil. And of course, this is not what the Bible's saying. It's saying get wisdom. The worst thing you can do is follow after Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O's example. And of course, our enemies like China and other countries, like TikTok specifically is an app designed by them, they're trying to make Americans dumb on purpose. Why? Because they're influenced of the devil and they want to destroy us. And the way to destroy someone is by making them dumb, is by making them foolish. We have celebrities and Hollywood and music promoting being stupid. Country music. I mean, if there's not a genre to promote idiocracy, it is country music. Rap music is designed to cause people to desire, have no education, no schooling, just basically be dumb, get money, commit fornication, just do things that are not smart. I mean, rap music is virtually the antithesis of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is like warning you about alcohol and whores, and rap music's like get as much alcohol and whores as you can. It's basically just the exact opposite. The Bible's telling you to get wisdom and knowledge and instruction, and rap music is saying, fight the man and attack the man, and you know, and we don't need to even be able to speak properly. What up, foo? You know, I'm finna go to the store, get some dough bread, man. It's just like, you aren't even speaking English anymore. Why are we elevating a culture that refuses to even speak the language? They just have to, they make a mockery of the English language and they get so degenerate that they can't even understand things. They get to, you hand them the King James Bible and they're just thinking like, what is that? Look, this is not the type of lifestyle, this is not the type of direction that we should head for our children. No, we should get wisdom. We should get instruction. And many times, the public school system is enabling children to fall victim to a lot of this filth through peer pressure, their friends, and what's going on in that culture. They're promoting this type of nonsense. You can go to school and the teachers will make TikTok videos with you. They'll listen to this kind of music with you and they make it seem cool and fun. Look, we need to emphasize the importance of knowledge and wisdom and education. I've heard that, and I don't know for a fact because I don't live in China, but I've heard that TikTok does the exact opposite in China, where the algorithm, instead of promoting Johnny Knoxville and promoting idiots and fools on purpose, it promotes people for academic and scholarly achievement. It's showing the ones that do the best math and the best science and their coolest experiments and engineering marvels and all the different things. Why? Because they're trying to garner the focus and attention of the youth, the heart, their desires on knowledge, saying, I want to be the best. And look, if there's any culture that elevates knowledge and wisdom, it's the Asian culture, folks. I mean, it's almost like a stereotypical meme of the idea of a child getting an A and his parents being mad that he didn't get an A+, right? Yeah. It's like, I'm not allowed to get anything lower than 100. You know, it's like the Asian culture.
And I'm not saying that we should go to such extremes to tell your children you don't even love them if they don't get a perfect score in every exam. But at the same time, you should say, look, you should strive for 100. You should strive to get hundreds. You should strive to get the best grades that you possibly can. You should strive to get every question right every single time and not to just settle and say, well, I'll just be a YouTube personality. You know, knowledge isn't my thing. You know, this isn't even saying like, well, those dumb people don't get knowledge or wisdom. It's saying for everyone. Every single person, get wisdom. Every single person, get understanding. Every single person, wisdom is the principal thing. And with all that getting, just meaning with all the effort and energy I have, everything that God's given me, I should get as much knowledge and wisdom as I possibly can. This is the right mentality. And when we talk about schooling or homeschooling, your number one emphasis, your number one principle is wisdom. Your children should be getting the best education possible. This is why I personally believe in homeschooling. I believe that you're going to give your child the best option by homeschooling. You're going to challenge them the most, and you can potentially give them the best possible education. Now, if there was a theoretically a better alternative or they can learn more, then maybe there's an argument for that. You know, and some people are afforded different opportunities. You know, I'm not against you if you can educate your children in the best way possible. I'm saying that you should, though. Whatever is the best way to educate your children, that is exactly how you should educate your children, because wisdom is the principal thing. And there should be no relaxed idea of, hey, it's not a big deal, we don't need to learn, studying is boring, school's boring. No. You should just be a lifelong learner and always striving for the highest levels of education you can possibly achieve. Look at verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Did you notice the person that's supposed to instruct the children? Does it say the mom? The teacher? It says the father, actually. So in fact, dads need to be teaching their children. Dads need to be educating their children. Now, of course, when we're talking about formal education, you know, practically speaking, I need to go out and work and provide for the house and to pay the bills and to defend the home and do all these different things. But I shouldn't think that, oh, mom teaches the children, I don't have to teach them. No, I should still also be instructing and teaching my children and giving them instruction. And the only way for my children to be able to hearken is for me to actually give them instruction. You don't even give your children a chance when you're not even trying, when you're not even educating them at all. I've even helped out with the homeschooling at times. You know, I'll trade with my wife, or I'll take turns, or I'll ask them about their education at home. I'll come home and I'll say, what did you learn today? What did you read today? I'll sit down and I'll help them learn how to read. I'll read books with them. Not just the Bible, anything. All their school books or random fiction novels or whatever is happening. Why? Because it's important for my children to learn how to read. And you know, it doesn't matter if she teaches them, I teach them, or we both teach them. It's important that they learn how to read. It's important that they learn how to do mathematics. It's important that they learn all the skills in life. And as the head of the household, it's my responsibility to make sure that my children are being well educated. And to make sure that they understand these things. And to make sure that they're going to do a good job. Go to Proverbs chapter 22. Point one is this. When you think about schooling or homeschooling, you need to make sure that wisdom is at the cornerstone of your program. Whatever decision you're making, think about wisdom. Now, when you think about what I'm saying and you trying to apply it, public school starts sounding worse and worse. Because is it really focused on wisdom, or is it focused on being a babysitter? I'll be honest with you. I personally believe public school is just a babysitter in many ways. You say, how do you know that? Well, I went to public school, number one, okay? And I, of course, learned things, and I was educated through the public school system just like anybody else. And yet, it was very difficult to be challenged in public school because everyone learns at different rates. And most teachers are forced to educate at a rate in which the lowest common denominator can possibly understand information. I remember specifically going to mathematics class in third grade, I believe. It was third or fourth. Forgive me on the year. It was third or fourth grade. I think it was fourth, actually. Let me remember this correctly. It was fourth grade. We walk into class. The teacher hands us a test, day one. She says, everybody take the test. So I take the test. We all turn it in. And everybody kind of bombs it, but then she looks at mine and she says, you got every single question right. I was like, okay. And she's like, well, this is the test that you're supposed to pass at the end of the year once you've learned everything. And I'm thinking like, okay. And so it was just kind of like, well, this is weird. You know, it's kind of awkward when you walk in and it's just like, hey, this is what you should know at the end of an entire year. And it's like, oh, you already know everything in this, okay? So basically, the most of the year, the teacher would just give me riddle books. And I would just work on, like, random riddles. And I did. But you know what happened is it built a bad mentality in my mind where I didn't have to work hard or try. So as mathematics started to really elevate and get more and more complex, I didn't really try that hard. And it ended up kind of biting me later on. Where I, instead of just making an instant 100 on every single test, I would get kind of sloppy, I would go a little too quick, because it was almost my goal to just be done with everything instantly so I could just go to a riddle book or just do whatever. And it ended up making it to where I had learned bad habits from an educational perspective. And of course, we're talking about fourth grade math. It's not like rocket science here, folks, okay? But that was a disservice to me, and it wasn't just me. There was other students that were similar. There was other students that were kind of in the same boat. And it's like, why is our education level, you know, focusing on those that are at the lowest level and not necessarily challenging those in the higher levels? I know also when I went to middle school and high school, they have advanced classes. But in junior high specifically, you could only get into an advanced class if the teachers allowed you to. And of course, I didn't necessarily have the best behavior. Okay, let's just be honest, all right? And because of that, I literally had teachers come up to me and say, hey, you should be in the advanced class, but you're too much of a class clown, so I'm not going to let you be in the class. So basically, I was just put in a lower level class only based on behavior. And again, that was just kind of like, you know, it would have been better for them to just get the rod out and beat me into a pulp and put me into the higher level class than to just put me in a lower level class and kind of bouncing around. Also, I kind of like went from an advanced class in one case to a lower level class due to behavior. But the way these teachers had structured their curriculum, I ended up like not even learning grammar because it was like the advanced class was teaching it at a different timeline as the lower level classes. So I ended up like skipping all of these lessons as a result of being tossed around to these classes or whatever. And so I just basically wasn't very good at grammar from my junior high days and high school days, not because I was a poor student, because no one ever taught me anything, because I never even went through that level of education. So there's just all these gaps. And of course, as a singular student, how does the school worry about me? They can't. They have thousands of students to have to worry about. And every single student probably has unique difficulties, things they're better at. I was much better at mathematics than I was at like language or these type of areas. And then you have a bunch of bogus classes like history and science. And who teaches those? The coaches. Why? Because they only care about football and baseball and what soccer. And since they only care about that, they teach a completely bogus class that many times doesn't even have the same levels of state testing. And it's just revisionist history. So I mean, I remember going to science class and praise the Lord, I lived in a conservative area. So the first like six chapters on evolution, they just wouldn't even teach it. They like refused to teach it because they're like, this is all junk anyways. I remember going to one science class and the teacher just like makes us watch a documentary on why the moon landing was fake. And I was like, this is weird. I was like, you're kind of weird. And look, I personally believe we landed on the moon, all right? Okay, and went back many times. I think it's very provable. You can disagree with me and be wrong as much as you want. But at the same time, you know, I don't think that the public school system is really emphasizing wisdom. I've been there. I've done that. And what I've heard is it's not getting better. It's not been improving and increasing. It's actually been declining and getting worse. I actually printed out some statistics on just information regarding homeschooling and public school and just kind of how many people are going to these different things. According to the NCES, which is the National Center for Education Statistics, this is not a homeschooling website or anything, it's just generic information. They said about 2.8% of students are homeschooled. So not necessarily a high percentage. And this is like several years ago. I think it's actually increased. I think by now in 2023, it's around 4 to 6%, somewhere a little bit higher. So it's been increasing. But at this time, they also looked at the demographics, and 4% of white children were homeschooled. 1.2% of black people or black children were homeschooled. 1.9% of Hispanic, and then 2.7% of two or more races. So this is just how they break this up. Also, they looked at the parental structure. When it's two parents but only one working in the labor force, it was 6.6% of the homeschool student percentages. Also, if on this chart, I was looking at it, it said the reasons why parents will homeschool. So this is like the top reasons why parents choose to homeschool. Number one, at 80.3%. So this means that 80% of all homeschool parents said this is a reason why they homeschool. A concern about school environment such as safety, drugs, or negative peer pressure. The second highest, at 74% of the parents, a desire to provide moral instruction. 74%, an emphasis on family life together. 72%, a dissatisfaction with the academic instruction at other schools. And then 58.9%, a desire to provide religious instruction. So those are the top five reasons why parents are choosing to educate their children at home. And about third on the list is specifically instruction, specifically academic instruction. They don't feel like it's necessarily as high level as the other alternatives that they have. And I'll be honest, I don't believe that the public school education is the best option from just a pure wisdom. I think that students that have a custom curriculum designed at home will more likely achieve greater academic results. They'll be able to learn more, quicker. They could potentially be challenged with subject matter that won't be presented or offered to them in the public school system. And you can do it a lot faster. Because again, most of the time at public school, it was a waste of time. I remember there was some kind of math class I took freshman year. Geometry, that's what it was. Sorry, yeah, you're right. Geometry. And it was taught by the cheerleading coach, okay? And it was a lady, the cheerleading coach. And I remember the class was such a joke that most of the day when I was in the class, we were all competing who could stand on a broken chair the longest. So there was, you know, those like plastic chairs that kind of are like in the shape of a V and they just had metal. Well, we'd rip the metal off. So it was just kind of this like little like plastic thing. So if it was a challenge to try and stand on both ends and kind of like balance yourself. So we would literally just all day just see who could stand on it the longest without falling off. And we would time each other and see. This is what I remember from geometry. This is my geometry that I've learned, is how to stand on things and balance. You know, you got to calculate exactly. No, we didn't even do any calculation. It was just a joke. Of course, many of the subjects in school, it's just wasting time. Not really, they don't really care that much. The education is virtually a joke in many situations. Of course, there are some good teachers. The best subjects are always going to be math and English because they're the most important, and the teachers there are usually the most challenging. But the other classes like science, history, and then when you start getting away from those, it gets really rough. It gets really crazy. Health, science, that's, you know, political science in school. I mean, these classes and subjects, even the music classes and the PE classes and things like this, it's just a joke. I mean, our PE teachers, this is like fat lesbian. It's like, what do you know about physical education? You don't even know anything. I mean, it was insane if you kind of put it in perspective of what the Bible's really teaching here. And of course, what does the Bible say in Proverbs 22, verse 6? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe that, unfortunately, a lot of what public education teaches you is to be lazy and to cheat, which, you know, don't take that for granted. Because at homeschool, I think it's a lot more difficult to cheat in homeschooling if done properly and correctly. But in public school, it is so easy to cheat, and it almost teaches everybody in there, it doesn't matter if you know the material or understand the material, just cheat and just get by. And of course, then what do we have as the workforce? A bunch of people that just want to cheat and get by. and just clock in, just make sure they're on the clock and just be babysat by their corporate executives. Go to work at Starbucks and just get babysat. And it's not necessarily about working hard, being educated, trying to make money for the company, trying to achieve something of yourself. Why? Because they've been trained and exercised in that behavior their whole life. To just be a government NPC. They basically have been educated to be communists already. Communists in their activity. They have a low self-effort, a low understanding, a low knowledge. Just accept, okay, I get an apartment, an iPhone, and McDonald's, and I'm happy. I mean, that's basically what they're just teaching the world to accept, and you can watch some idiot blow himself up on your smartphone, right? You can watch some stupid TikTok video, and just make sure to get the vaccine, make sure to get whatever drugs or whatever they pass on to you. Look, this is what's going on with public education, folks. And I'll tell you something. When you start stripping out religion from the education, it messes with the education itself, too. Because it's, you know, they want to say like, oh, we need to have this agnostic or view of education. Let's just teach the students just things that are non-religious. But the problem is that starts to fall apart fast. Yes, 2 + 2 = 4, and we can learn that apart from our religious beliefs. But when you start getting into education like history and science, when you start having word problems in math, and they start saying like two dudes, which they're doing in public education, the word problems are all kinds of crazy nonsense and political ideology shoved into people's minds. You know, that is going to mess with the education. And of course, it very clearly does. Go to Titus chapter number two. You know, when I was reading these statistics, some of the main reasons was the religious and moral aspects of the teaching. And number one, the reason why we choose homeschooling is because of the wisdom factor. I believe that my children are going to be the best educated from home by my wife. My wife was a public school teacher, and she did it for approximately 5 years. And she was, I guarantee she was one of the best teachers they had. But at the same time, why would I want to send my wife off to teach a bunch of people that she doesn't care about and not teach my children? And I believe the same about the women here. No one will educate your children as good as you will. Oh, no, I think the fat lesbian will. No, she won't. And some women, they get intimidated by this, and they think, like, I'm not that intelligent or that smart. And yet, you really think the fat lesbian is? Do you think the people protesting our church are good at educating your children? I mean, you don't even realize, a lot of times, that's who's there. A lot of the school teachers are some of the worst people on the planet. That they can't even understand the difference between male and female. You already know that. You're good. Okay? Your education level is already far surpassed them, okay? And again, you start out slow. You start out teaching them how to read. Hopefully, you already know how to read. So you have a huge advantage on them. And you're an adult. You have a huge advantage on them. And you only have to be one lesson ahead of them. And then you say, well, how do I mean, just re-educate yourself. And in fact, a lot of times we probably all need it. Let's just be real. We probably could all benefit from some re-education. In fact, even just my oldest, he's not necessarily that advanced yet, third or fourth grade, but some of the material I'm thinking like, yeah, I haven't necessarily, I need a refresher on some of this. You know, some of this is already challenging me, and it's good to be challenged and have to relearn a lot of this information. And we use the ABECA program, and I personally believe it's probably the best or one of the best curriculum options you can choose. Now, this is what people criticize it for. It's hard work. But why do I, have I read anything that says here, like, see what's the easiest way to educate your children? No, I would rather choose a curriculum or an option that's going to make or force me and my wife to actually put a lot of effort into it. There's some curriculums designed to not put very much effort, and there's curriculums where you have to put a lot of effort. You know what I would prefer? Whatever's going to give them the best education. Okay, you can do less effort and educate them better, go for it. But usually there's not really shortcuts in life. You can't really cheat your way into success. And typically the best way to educate your children is you have to put a lot of effort and energy into it. And so my wife, she gets this huge planner out. She literally does the whole curriculum for a large period of the year, maybe a semester or the whole year. She plans out every lesson. She has them all checkmarked. And just every day the students have to complete all the different lessons that we have and all the different subject matters and all the different courses that are there. And you know what? She takes it serious. It's not like, well, today I think we might do some schooling. It's like, no, we know on Monday we're doing these lessons at this time. It's this page number. We're going to go through these sections. We're going to learn. This is what we're going to learn for this year. And you know, my students don't walk in and say, I already learned everything for this year, day one. It's like, no, no, no. They're going to be learning a lot. They're going to be challenged with a lot. And the cool thing is, even if we did, what if one of my students, one of my children, hey, at third grade, he knew all the third grade material. Fourth grade. We're not going to just wait a whole year until you catch up. No, no, no. We're just going to pile on fourth grade and then fifth grade, and then we'll just go through the next lesson. You know, we'll just keep challenging them. Also, we can keep educating them through the summer and not necessarily teach them this habit of just like taking 3 months off and doing nothing. That's not necessarily a good habit either. And look, I love the summer, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't take a break, but at the same time, if my education standard is the Bible, it says with all thy getting to get understanding. It didn't say like, you know, just for a few months a year, just for a few hours, you know, just every once in a while. I'm not saying like as much as you possibly can. And I think that it's important that we're teaching our children all of these subjects. Not only just mathematics and arithmetic, how about just other subjects? As a man, you can teach your children a lot of things. You should be teaching them about tools. You know, it's embarrassing, and it happens. There'll be men that are 20, 21, 22, and you say, get a Phillips screwdriver, and they're like, what's that? They're like, hey, Philip, do you have a screwdriver I can borrow? Pastor said I need your screwdriver. And it's like, no. Because then they're like giving me a flathead. And he's like, who's that? I don't even know what that is. What does that mean? Is that a flat earther? You know, what is that? No. They don't even know anything about tools. They don't even know what a screwdriver is. They don't know how to use a hammer. You know, don't put your kids in that situation. Teach your kids how to use tools. Teach your kids how to exercise. You know, when your car breaks down and you have to change the tire, have your kid go out there. Get the tire iron, take the lug nuts off, you know, get the tire out, throw it on the truck, whatever, jack it up. Show him how to use the jack, because one day he'll have to drive. And he'll appreciate the fact that he already knows how to do these things, and he doesn't have to call another fat lesbian to come and fix his tire or whatever, okay? Teach him, you know, how to throw a ball, you know? Teach him how to hit a ball. Teach him how to kick a ball. Teach him how to run. Teach him how to survive. You know, there's a lot of cool survival techniques. And look, there's so many things that men may be teaching their sons that go beyond just reading and arithmetic. As women, teach the children, you know, how to cook, how to clean, how to organize, how to structure a house. You know, they should be having to do all these different things. You know, as a wife and a mother, you think like, oh man, it's just so exhausting doing everything in the house. You should just be a manager. Yeah. When you get more children, you're getting promoted. Right. You just keep getting promoted. You have a bigger company. You know, all these women want to run their own company. You do. It's called the house. It's your house. And you know what? You start putting those people to work. It's like, eventually you should get to the point, you never have to clean the table. You never have to clean the dishes. You never have to take the trash out. You never have to make a meal. You're thinking like, this sounds great. How do I sign up? Have lots of kids, okay? You gotta wait a while, right? They don't come out doing all that. But at the same time, teach them how to do everything. And you can get to a point where you never have to do it again. You know, as a man, praise God, I don't have to do any of that, okay? But there's still man tasks I have to do. Sometimes taking out, you know, the trash and doing some of these things. But as my sons get older and bigger, eventually, that's going to be outsourced, and I don't have to do any of that kind of work. You know, get your children to start doing some work and learning how to be a person, learning some of this instruction, getting some wisdom, you know, teach them the wax on, wax off. Teach them how to paint, right? You have house projects, you know, get the kids to do it, right? Now, Titus chapter number 2 is an important instruction. You know, the bad contractors, their parents didn't have them do it at the house and say, like, that sucks, do it again, you know. That's what you need at home, to do it bad, so, and have your parents, you know, tell them that it's terrible. You know, my children don't need public school to get hazing. Me and my wife can give plenty of them to, you know, at home. Titus chapter 2, look at verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. You know, women, should teach through their behavior. Of course, this, you know, if you understand the subject and you understand this chapter, it's not talking about formal education. Look what it says. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. This is not a formal class like Love Your Husband 101. No. It's talking about you love your husband, and by your modeled behavior, you'll teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Not only that, how to be obedient to their husbands. I mean, how long does that class even take? Step one, do everything he says. All right, we're done. Thanks for showing up. You know, I'm glad you came to this semester. I mean, there's not formal instruction on this. It's modeled behavior. You actually doing what he says. And of course, when's the most important time to do what he says? When you disagree. Because when he says, hey, let's go to your favorite restaurant. Okay. You know, that wasn't very difficult, was it? But it's like when he asks you to do something you don't want to do, and you're like, no, you do it. I've been doing it. I don't know. Yeah. Then you know what you teach the younger women? Oh, that's how I treat my husband. Oh, when he's going to ask, you know, them to do something, that's how I respond. Whereas, look, women can read each other like that. They know when you don't want to do something. But you know, when you just do it anyways, they think like, oh, crap, when they ask me to do something I don't want to do, I have to be like her and just do it anyways and just suck it up. Us men, we're not necessarily as naturally gifted to read people's emotions, but women, boy, they know what every other woman's thinking. This is why none of them are friends, okay? They have a hard time being friends with each other. You know, us guys, we're too stupid to realize if we like each other or not. And, you know, as guys, you sometimes have that annoying friend that won't pick up the hint. You're just like, you smell, you're weird, I don't like you. You know, you're fat, you know, you're just saying all these things that he won't go away. Look, if girls said that to their friend, they wouldn't be their friend instantly. They don't even have to say that. They indirectly say something about them being fat and they're just never their friend forever. They're just marked off the list. As guys, you could punch them in the face and they won't go away. Because they're too thick-headed, okay? It's just differences. And when it comes to women, it's important that women model the right behavior because that often speaks a lot louder than words. And you don't want to know why? It's because you ladies say a lot of things you don't mean. So people don't really take you as seriously. I mean, you ask your wife, hey, where do you want to go eat? I don't care. Liar. How are you doing? I'm fine. Liar. We've learned that nothing you say is true. So basically, the only thing that matters is what you do. And that's why it's so important that women have good behavior. That women actually are doing right. And look, you're going to be educating your children on what you do. Number one, why I homeschool is because of the wisdom fact. Number two is the morality. And let me tell you something. Your children are going to model your behavior, ladies. You know, you say, I want my children to obey me at home. Well, how do you obey your husband? You know, I'm sick and tired of my children talking back at me every time I give them instruction. Well, do you talk back at your husband every time he gives you an instruction? Because you know what? Monkey see, monkey do. How, you know, just everything about your personality, your children will pick up. If you're a really loud person, your children are going to be really loud. If you're really quiet, your children will be really quiet. Almost everything. You just see, hey, the things you're interested in, your kids are interested in. My dad's a big Braves fan, and you know what team my brother really loves in the baseball? The Braves. You know, my dad's a really big Kentucky Wildcat basketball fan. You know what my brother really likes? The Kentucky Wildcats. Hey, my dad is a really big Dallas Cowboys fan. And you know what my brother really likes? The Dallas Cowboys. You know what these three things have in common? Virtually nothing. Except for one, my dad liked them. I mean, think about it. Atlanta, Kentucky, Texas, why in the world would anybody pick that as an assortment of sports teams? They wouldn't. Why does my brother love these teams? It's because my dad watched them on a regular basis, liked them, and took my brother to those games, and so he loves those teams. Why? You know, you're going to just model the behavior of your family. You're going to model the behavior of your dad and of the wife. And let me tell you something. What you do in the home speaks louder in many cases than any of the words that you say. I want to go to another proverb on this. Go back to the book of Proverbs real quick. Go to Proverbs 29 for a second. And look at verse 15. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Obviously, the father's supposed to instruct, and I've been talking a lot about the dad. But, you know, the mom is kind of getting all the blame when the child's terrible. Did you notice that? It's like, hey, when the child is just kind of left to themselves, you know, they're going to end up, what, being a bad kid. And who's the one that's really getting the bad rap? It's the mother. Why? Because she spends the most time with the children. And I think it's very important. You dads need to spank your children. You need to physically discipline them. But you know what? You moms really, really need to. You moms need to be the one that lay down the law and bring the rod and the reproof. And you know what? If you decide to not discipline your children, you're going to be the one to blame. You're going to be the one that it's shame on you for not disciplining your children. And of course, it's important that the mom is there with the child, educating the child, disciplining him, and telling him what's right and wrong. Look at chapter 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. I think that sometimes we forget, I'm guilty of this myself. I think sometimes we forget that, you know that Proverbs 31 is not written to women. It's written to young men. If you think about the initial context, it wasn't saying, hey, women, this is how you behave. It's actually written to a young man from his mother. Hey, this is what good women are like, son. This is a mother teaching her son, hey, don't drink, don't chew, and don't go with girls that do, right? It's don't drink, don't be an idiot, don't pervert judgment, right? It's constantly instructing him. And of course, stay away from whorish women. Here's the kind of woman you should go after. And this is what a good woman is like. This is the whole essence of Proverbs 31. How are the young men going to know who to marry? Mom needs to teach them. And you know what? Praise God that my mom, boy, did she hate whores. I'll tell you what. Wow. And you know what she would do? She would just talk about women being whores. She would just be like, she looks like a slut, you know. And in this documentary, they're saying, oh, you know, instead of learning mathematics, they're learning how to slut shame. And I guess a part of the curriculum was to like literally look at a person dressed inappropriately and circle how they were dressed inappropriately. Well, go if you would to Deuteronomy 22 for a second. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. But here's the thing. You cannot get away from this aspect of education. Because it doesn't matter. Can we all just go to school without clothes on? Will the public school just let every student go with zero clothes on? No. Okay. Can you wear a hijab? I don't know. But obviously, that's kind of the extremes, right? No clothes, Muslims. And nobody in our society virtually wears any is like that. So where are you going to put the line? What is the appropriate clothing or the appropriate dress code? Well, every school virtually has a dress code. And I remember in my public school, I think that the dress code standard was, as far as length of garment for girls, was fingertip length. So as long as they wore a skirt or shorts that was at least to their fingertip. And I remember girls are doing all kinds of weird orangutan moves to try and like make their garment fit or whatever. But that's a standard. And here's the thing. That wasn't me forcing them. The school has their own standard. Oh, well, the school's teaching people about slut shaming. Yeah, because everyone has standards. Look, every single person has dress code. Every single company has a dress code. Everybody has at least some line that they draw. So why in the world would homeschool not have the same element? And they want to try and criticize homeschool for saying, oh, they're teaching people not to slut shame or just slut shame or something like this. Well, you know what? You should be teaching your children why you have certain standards. Now, what is some of the standards the Bible has? Well, look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. The Bible says that women shouldn't wear men's clothing, and men shouldn't wear women's clothing. That's just fact. That's just statement of reality. Now, if there was no such thing as women or men's clothing, there would be no way for even us to observe this commandment. And you say, well, what's women's clothing? It's a dress or a skirt. What's men's clothing? It's pants. Now, this is just understood by people that don't even care about the Bible. People that, you know, the people that manufacture the door hanger at every bathroom understand this. And you know what? They're not a fundamental, they're not like reading Deuteronomy 22:5 each time they decide that they're like, hey, oh, okay, that's why I draw the picture this way. And you know, when people go to a restaurant, they're not like, Dad, which bathroom do I use? And they're like, well, let's get the Bible out. See. No, no, no. They're just like instantly, oh, I can walk into this one. There will be no words. Zero. It's just a picture. People will come from a foreign country that don't speak English, and they know exactly which bathroom to walk into. And you know what? The trannies know exactly which bathroom they want to go into. And the trannies are putting a specific garment on so they can go into that bathroom. And then I get up and I say, hey, women's clothing is a skirt or a dress, and people freak out. Oh, the Bible doesn't say that. Okay, nature says it. Are you going to argue with nature? Well, but that's just, you know, that's just your opinion. It's my opinion that dresses and skirts are a woman's garment and that that's a fact, okay? My opinion is that that's a fact. I don't really care what you think because it's just reality. And if you say, well, I don't think that that's true, I think it's pants can be unisex. Okay. Well, let's just think about this logic for half a second. All right? What is, when women wear pants, what do they typically wear? Especially in our culture. Just leggings, right? So you're telling me that God wants women to wear leggings. Because what's the difference between a man's pants and woman's pants? Man pants are baggy, and they don't really show off the body as much. But it would be an abomination for a woman to have baggy pants on and to not reveal much of her body. But if she's revealing her body and form exactly, God's really pleased with that. That's your logic. That's the logic of a pervert, okay? And, of course, there's nothing wrong with girls wearing leggings. Guys love it, okay? But what you should do is you should put a dress or skirt over that. Just like it wouldn't be cool. What if I was just wearing only leggings? No one would like that. No one would be pleased with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with having an undergarment, but you know what? It's called an undergarment for a reason. Okay, go if you would to Exodus chapter 28. Go to Exodus 28. I don't like this. I don't agree. Well, you know what? This is my personal conviction, and I believe it's the biblical truth. But you know, I looked it up in Forney Independent School District. And that's not that far from here. Does anybody know where Forney is? Okay, a few people. It's just east of Dallas. It's a stone's throw from where we're at right now. Forney Independent School District. They passed a new law in 2022 that you're not allowed to wear any dresses, skirts, or skorts to school. Fifth grade and up, no girls can wear a dress or a skirt or a skort to school at all. Because they want the girls to be more professional. So you literally can't even follow this biblical conviction and go to that public school. I mean, what in the world? We'll just make school where it's just agnostic and it doesn't have religion in it. That's religion now. You've already crossed the line. And look, you're kidding yourself when you think that public education can just be so clean and pristine and taken away from religion. Look, everything becomes religious really quick. Even math, apparently, because math becomes racist when you're a leftist. Math is scary, okay? And they believe in communism, not capitalism, so they hate mathematics and logic and reasoning and facts and truth. I mean, it becomes religious really quick. And you know what? I'm not going to let my daughters wear pants or shorts in my house. Of course, if they grow up and they decide to rebel and do their own thing, I can't force them if they're married. They'll do whatever their husband says. But you know what? While they're under my roof, I'm in control. And you know what? As the principal of my school, they're not allowed to dress like men. I don't want them to dress like men. It's weird if you want them to dress like men. Well, you know what? I just think that's your personal opinion. You know what you sound like? You sound like the transvestites of the 1800s and 1900s. Because that's the exact same argument that they made. Did you realize in 1890, a San Francisco judge imprisoned Mamie Rubel to the Stockton Insane Asylum for wearing men's clothing? You know what she's wearing? Pants. And this is a quote from her. Quote, neither a man nor a woman, and I've got no sex at all. Let me 1890. Let me remind you, you know, trannies weren't just like invented 5 years ago, okay, folks? They've been happening for a while. So what did the transvestites do in the late 1800s? They would dress like men. And how do they dress like men? Wearing pants, going around, being like, I'm a man, or I'm not anything, or whatever. Now, this is what's funny. If you read about this case, they said that this claim was clear evidence of insanity and used to imprison her. So not that long ago, they realized this is clear evidence that you're insane. If you think you're a man as a woman, you're insane. The insane asylum. Bring it back, okay? At the bare minimum. We got a final solution later, all right? But this was their argument. You know, and then eventually all the cross-dressing laws in America got dissolved, and you know what they all said? This is their legal argument. Oh, clothing is vague. We don't know what a man's clothing or woman's clothing is. That was their whole legal argument. And now you have Christians making the exact same argument. You just remove yourself 50 years and now it's just the exact same argument being made by all the transvestites and the Satanists just saying, oh, there's no difference between clothing. Well, if there's no difference between clothing, then we can't even obey God anymore, folks. Or are you going to obey? You know what? I do believe, Pastor Shelley, that women should dress like women and not dress like men. So I'm going to wear skin-tight leggings because I refuse to wear baggy pants. That's insane. You're just refusing to believe the Bible, and you're refusing to do what God said. Why? Because this world, which is sick and perverted, and promoting trannies, promoting dudes in dresses and skirts to you, has convinced you to wear pants. Every single tranny is wearing a dress. When is the last time that America promoted a tranny wearing pants? The stupid Dylan Mulvaney, the big Bud Light thing, when is that guy ever wearing pants? He's always wearing a dress. And then the world wants to tell you, oh, no. Pants are for women. Then why does no tranny ever wear them? Why are they only ever wearing dresses and skirts? Because they want to confuse you and make a mockery of you, and they want you to be a tranny. Because what if every single girl just started wearing pants from now on? No dresses or skirts. And then what do they want next? Men to wear dresses and skirts. Because they just want to humiliate everyone, turn everything backwards, and mock God. Why do you think God gave us these rules? Because he knew that people would do this. Oh, well, I found some Irish guy wearing a kilt. Okay, well, he looks like a queer. I don't care how burly or hairy he is, he still looks like a queer. Well, we found a culture that does it. That's not my deciding factor. Oh, we found a culture in Africa that eats children. I guess we should do that now, huh? No, just because someone did it doesn't mean it's a cool thing to do. Remember the TV show Jackass? Not a cool thing to do. Don't try this at home, is the big advertising warning at the very beginning of their TV show. Why? Because the Bible is giving you instruction to be have wisdom, understanding, and to be moral. And you can't get away from moral teaching. You can't take the morality out of education. It's always going to be part and parcel with education. That's why we homeschool. Amen. That's a huge reason. I don't want my kids to just get a license to commit fornication and drugs and perversion and communism and all the other weird stuff that's going on in public education. Even if they didn't learn mathematics and all that very well, I would rather them not learn any of that at all. Of course, you don't have to pick. You don't have to pick if they need to learn about trannies or math. You can just pick no trannies and math. Okay? And of course, there's other great benefits. I don't have time, but I just want to go to this one verse that I told you to go to, Exodus 28. But you're going to get a closer family bond when you homeschool. And of course, do you have to homeschool to be right with God? No. I just personally believe it's the best decision. I'm going to always promote it. I'm going to always talk about it. If you go to a public school, I don't hate you. I'm not mad at you. I went to public school. I'm sure that I could relate very well to the experiences that you've had. But at the same time, I don't want that for my children because I've been there and done that. And I've heard it's gotten worse. I've heard that kids are getting pregnant in school all the time. They don't even have to go anywhere. I mean, kids are just doing all, I mean, because kids have smartphones now, they're learning all kinds of filth on their phone and then trying it at school and teaching all their friends about it. And I'll be honest with you, when I was in public school, I was offered many times to do all kinds of drugs, commit fornication, commit crimes. All that stuff was offered to me on a regular basis. Always available to me, super easy. I could have done it whenever, however. And if it was easy for me, it would have been easy for anybody else too. And I want to keep my kids as innocent as possible, as young as possible mentally, and allow them to mature when their body's finally matured, but not to try and become an adult when they're still 7 years old and speak like an adult when they're 7 years old. You know, that's bizarre. And when it comes to the dress code, you know, my rule is not fingertip. My rule is what the Bible says. Look at Exodus 28, verse 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach. Oh, it's slut-shaming. Well, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you should cover from all the way down to your knees. Now, again, that's not my rule. That's what God said. I'm not coming with an arbitrary deciding factor. Now, do people break this? Yeah, they do. People will wear higher than that clothing. And look, I'm not mad at you. I'm not saying that I'm better than you. I'm just saying that it's wrong. And you know what? My daughters, I'm not going to let them do that. Now, some people have such an extreme standard, they'll go down to like ankle length. They say like, our family's going to go all the way down to the ankles. If you're the husband, you say that, you have the right to. But you know what? Don't impose that on other people. Yet, let's be clear that this is a line that the Bible's giving us. And you know, if you have a homeschool curriculum where you show your kids, hey, here's the clothing line, and we're circling the knees and whatever, that's what the Bible teaches. But don't be like, oh, that's so horrible. Look, at public school, they're teaching them something else. They're teaching that finger length is fine. Or who knows anymore. Have you seen the short shorts that guys are wearing these days? Someone please teach them knees. Can we go back to when rap music was teaching you to have it like way down to your shins or whatever, the shorts? Now, of course, you need to have them pulled up. You know, pull your pants up. Notice it was from the loins to the knee. I like this. God thought of both. He said, hey, pull those pants up and make sure they reach to the knee, right? Don't let them sag and show us anything below your waist, but also don't show anything above the knee. Now, of course, God's smart enough to think about every scenario. It's not like if you have shorts that go down to your knee and then you sit down and they like creep up an inch or two that you're like going to hell now or something, okay? You know why God put it down to the knee? So that you have enough grace to cover anything that's too obscene, right? But whenever it's already finger length, and then you sit down, it starts getting really high. And it's like, whoa! You know, and no one's interested in that, dude, okay? If you're a dude, please abide by this, okay? Don't go down this road. I don't want to see it. I'm not interested. Of course, ladies also are in danger of this because most clothing is designed to be above the knee. And look, you know, for me and my household, I was like, hey, we'll buy all new dresses or skirts or whatever we have to do, but I want to follow God's commandments, and I want my children to follow God's commandments, and that's why we homeschool. Number one, for the wisdom aspect. Number two, for the morality aspect. And number three, to keep them safe. Safe from all the danger and the evil out there. There's a lot less school shootings at home. Like zero. A lot less mass shooters coming in. And of course, you know, the teachers are armed at our school. So they don't have to worry about whether or not it meets policy. In fact, they're actually responsible for being armed. They have to be armed, okay? That's a requirement in our school, not the opposite. And you know, it's getting dangerous out there, folks. But don't let the atheist and the God-hater convince you how to dress, how to educate, what to believe. You know, you and your household decide as a family, what the Bible teaches, and you guys educate your children likewise. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us all this instruction from the Bible. I pray that we would be motivated to take the responsibility of education seriously, that we'd be willing to educate our children, we put time and effort into them, that we'd love them, that we care about them. And I pray that if there's anything that someone should change, that they would be willing to change based on the Word of God. And that they would teach their children why they do the things that they do, so that their kids would understand that it's important to follow God's commandments, that these decisions that we make are not just arbitrary, but rather they're coming from Scripture. And I pray that you would just bless the families as they try to educate their children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, for a final song, we're going to turn to 27, The Old Rugged Cross. Song 27, The Old Rugged Cross. Song 27, The Old Rugged Cross. On a hill. Song 169. Sing a verse of this song here, Come Thou Fount. 169, Come Thou Fount. 169, Come Thou Fount. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, all for songs about His grace. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by clanging tongues above. Raise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love.
All right, at this time we'll have a baptism.
We have Brother Braden, who's coming for baptism. Come on, step right here. He's 13. Just turn around right here. Okay. Just sit all the way on your bottom for me. Just sit all the way down on your bottom for me. There you go. Scoot up a little bit. All right. All right, Brother Braden, have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Then I baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose right here. Buried in likeness of His death, raised to walk in newness of life. Congratulations, man. Make sure to congratulate our baptism. God bless you. You're dismissed.